is Friday, October 28, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Now, on Fridays at the Daily, we take one of your questions, and today's question is a continuation from last Friday's question, how should Christians treat Halloween? When I was in fourth grade, I dressed up as Hank Williams Jr. for Halloween, and my buddy Brian Norris dressed up as Chuck Norris, even though there was no relation. So with a guitar and nunchucks in hand, we set out to go to the fall carnival that my church, St. Luke, was putting on that year. Our parents dropped us off at the church. We got out of the car and took off running. As we entered through the back of the church, we halted past the water fountain, skimmed down the hall, and busted right smack dab in front of the sanctuary, where we were sure to see kids dressed up holding their hands out for candy. But something was different. People were dressed up, but not in Halloween costumes. And suddenly it dawned on us, uh-oh. We had found ourselves up front at the altar of the church during a wedding ceremony, dressed as Hank Williams Jr. and Chuck Norris. So I immediately grabbed Chucky and I, and we both hauled it out of there. Come to find out the carnival was the night before. Now, what are we going to do with Halloween? There's a lot of discussion about this because some Christians totally reject it and some totally receive it, and many are somewhere in between. So this leads to confusion because we're thinking, well, am I more holy because I reject it? Am I less holy because I embrace it? How are we to treat Halloween? One of the things I mentioned last week was that because this is a secondary issue, you need to prayerfully allow your biblically informed conscience to guide you. God has graciously implanted a powerful mechanism within you to be your aid in the battle against sin. He gave you your conscience, and that gift is the key to bringing you joy and freedom. Hebrews 9, verse 14 says, through the blood of Christ, God has been gracious to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. In Acts 24, verse 16, Paul said, also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. Now, here's my goal today. Here's my goal. I want to teach you a three-point model in thinking through how to engage culture so that you can prayerfully allow your biblically informed conscience to guide you in the level of participation your family will have with Halloween. But I want this to stretch beyond Halloween. This can be a way to think through many issues that come up as redeemed sinners who are in the world, but not of the world. Basically, with anything culture, we can do one of three things. We can receive it, we can reject it, or we can redeem it. First of all, receive. All right, you go to your doctor, let's say he's not a Christian, and he says to you, eat healthy, exercise, and take care of yourself. You shouldn't reject that, and you don't even have to tweak it. You just take it as it is and give God glory for general revelation and common grace. All right. Number two, reject. There are some things that we're just going to have to flat out reject. They simply don't have any redeeming value. For instance, crack cocaine. You can't redeem that. Pornography. You can't put a Christian spin on pornography. Terrorism. You can't redeem that. No redeeming value. And then number three, you can redeem it. So you can receive it, reject it, or number three, redeem it. There are things in the culture that we can redeem, meaning they're good and God gave them to us as a gift, but they've been corrupted and polluted, and there is a redeemed way to enjoy, use, and steward them. Example, sex. Sex. God made it. It was His idea. He kissed it with His blessing and said, here you go. Well, it's to be embraced, and it's to be enjoyed, but how? In the context of marriage between husband and wife. See, we've distorted sex in so many ways, but it doesn't mean that it's bad in and of itself. It just means that we need to enjoy it within the confines of how God meant for it to be enjoyed. So those are the three ways we can thoughtfully engage culture. So let's look at these three things in light of Halloween. So Halloween, do we receive it? I say no. There's just too much baggage in its heritage as we talked about last week. And if you hadn't listened to last week's message, you may want to go back and listen to that. But there's just too much baggage in its heritage that is antithetical to the teachings of the Bible. But we just have to say, no, I can't receive this as is. So do we reject it? Do we reject it? Personally, I say no. There are just too many good things that come along with Halloween in our culture. Family time, community time, showing hospitality to our neighbors, hayrides, cute little baby girls dressed up as ladybugs and kittens, which, by the way, is what mine are dressing as this year. 8-year-old boys dressed up as Spider-Man, who actually think they become Spider-Man once they put the costume on. And we know this because they'll run around and shoot imaginary spider webs out of their hands all over the place and all up in your face. That is awesome. All right. But listen to me. There are Christians who would say that their conscience just will not allow them to participate in Halloween because of the checkered heritage of Halloween. If that's you, you need to protect your conscience and refrain from Halloween. All right? It's not a bad thing to reject it. You need to allow your biblically informed conscience to guide you, and I want to help you fight against allowing your conscience to grow numb. I once led a girl to Christ who was a Wiccan. You're talking about crazy. Now, she perhaps doesn't need to participate in any Halloween events. It may just bring back too many haunting memories. But I want to put a disclaimer out there. You can't try to implement your conviction on this secondary issue upon everyone else. All right. So in other words, if you reject it, you can't expect every other Christian to reject Halloween. And don't think you're better or more holy than everyone else if you do reject it. On the other hand, if you have no problem with it participating in Halloween events, you need to refrain from rolling your eyes at Christians who reject it flat out. There just needs to be a lot of grace here. So thirdly, redeem. I say yes, we can redeem Halloween. Can Christians enjoy participating in some of the Halloween activities without embracing some of the weird hocus-pocus that falls within the history of Halloween? Yes, absolutely. Can participating in Halloween activities be a way to connect with neighbors for the purpose of sharing the love of Christ? Yes. Should Christians embrace every detail of Halloween? No. Should all Christians participate in Halloween? No. They must keep a clean conscience. Can churches bless their communities and share the love of Christ through fall festivals and trunk or treats? Yes. Absolutely. So here's the deal. We need to seek the face of God in secondary matters. And we need to always have the heart of 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And thus, in doing that, let's make much of Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again next week on the First Baptist Daily. She got one of idiots, it blows me away. She's everything I want to say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got one of idiots, I don't know what to do. Cause every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you, I do. You got whatever it is.